You gotta preach the word.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we appreciate it if you take a few minutes to pay some attention. My name is Glenn. I'm from a faraway and frozen land called Canada. I've been here in the Bahamas bringing the word of God for some time now. Many people in our modern age do not believe there is a God, but they do not know that in 30 seconds without the Bible I can prove there is a God, and then thus you're responsible to Him. If we look in front of me, there's a building called Colony Place. If I ask you to believe that over millions of years, out of nothing, cement and shingles and glass and paint fell out of the sky and formed that building, you would say I was insulting your intelligence. But that's exactly what teachers in our schools and most of the world do, is they say that this world we live in came from nothing. Nothing exploded and out of it came everything. The building in front of us is evidence that somebody designed and somebody built that structure. And the same is creation. We look around us at the beautiful palm trees and the amazing seas. We look at the 130 million light-sensitive cells in one of your eyes. It screams out there is a creator. Somebody made you. And thus you are responsible to Him. If somebody made you, does He have something to say to you? And thus says the Lord, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. He says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does He mean when He says this word to mankind, that there's going to be a great and terrible, awesome day of the Lord? What is that all about? And what is it that He says that men will be saved from? And this is what I've come to talk to you about today, to explain what is the great and terrible day of the Lord, and how might men be saved from it. The book of Romans, written to Christians that live in the city of Rome many years ago, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known of God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. If we pause there for a minute, the Word of God is saying that even if you've never seen the Bible, even if somebody's never told you, that you know there's a God, it screams out to you that there's a God, because the creation shows evidence of God. Only a fool will believe in the fairy tale of evolution that says that nothing exploded and out of it came everything. Did you know that your teachers probably believe that there was an explosion from nothing creating a rock, and it rained on the rock for millions of years, and out of that rain came soup, and your great-great-great-grandfather is soup? What a fool that would believe this thing. And they tell us that we are crazy for believing that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is the religious person here? Those that believe that out of nothing, it exploded with no energy and nobody to start it, and everything came out of it. Yes, creation screams there is a God, and you are responsible to Him. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of the hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped it as humans, served the creature rather than the creator who blessed it forever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that were contrary to nature, and their men likewise gave up natural relations with women and consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty of their error. You see, the reason that why our world is in such a moral decline, where sexual promiscuity is rampant, where homosexuality is now being accepted as mainstream, even though it is aberrant and sinful and vile before God, is because mankind have given up the idea that they have a creator that they're responsible to. And God has given them up to their vile passions for sexual promiscuity, for homosexuality, and a host of other kinds of sin. You see, the Word of God tells us, from Alberta and Canada, the Word of God tells us that there is a day that God has appointed, a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. He said it's appointed on the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The prophet Jeremiah, many, many years ago, he wrote, "Thus the Lord God of Israel said to me, take from my hand this cup of wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it, for they shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I'm sending among them." All throughout the Bible, God talks of the wrath of God and of judgment. Why is that? It's hard for us to understand because it's been a long time since anybody taught what the Bible really says. You see, the Bible says that He will judge the world in righteousness. What is God's standard of righteousness? Well, many of you know God's standard of righteousness that's known as the Ten Commandments, or God's moral law. If you were to die this very day, and if you were to be judged by God's standard of righteousness, would you pass the test? This is the question, because none of us know which day we will die. 153,000 people will die today, and it could be that you'll be one of them. Some months ago, I was watching here in the Bahamas a cable channel that shows obituaries. I was fascinated to find out that it wasn't just old people that died. With people of all ages, children, middle-aged people, teenagers, and old people. Everyone will die. We just do not know the day that's appointed for your death. We'll open up a minute. God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Another place in the scriptures it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. How many of you love money and love yourself more than you love God? Have you kept that commandment? If you were judged on this one alone, would you be guilty? You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath. This is a command against idolatry. But many of you might have made up an own idea of who God is. You might call Him Jesus or use the name of God of the Bible. But you made up a God that's okay with your own sin. And that's not the God of Scripture, people. If you've made up a God that loves everybody, has a wonderful plan for everybody's life, and won't send anybody to hell, trust me, you've made your own God, and you're not worshiping the God of Scripture. The next commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Many of you here, if I use the name of your mother as a cuss word, You would be offended. You might get in my face. Some of you men would take a swing at me if I cussed your mother's name. But how many of you use the name of your creator as a cuss word, the name of Jesus Christ? Or you say, oh my, and you put in the name of your creator. That's blasphemy, people. And God said he will not hold him blameless who uses his name in vain. To use his name in vain is not just to use it as a cuss word, but even to use it lightly without due honor and respect. The Old Testament, godly Jews of Israel, they would not even speak the name of God for fear they would dishonor his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God created you, gave you life. You take one day out of seven to worship and to honor him. Next commandment, honor your father and mother. Most people say that they do honor their father and mother. But if you really listen to God's commandment, he says, have you done what your parents say the first time, every time, never talk back to them? Are you guilty before God? Have you dishonored your parents even one time in your life? The scriptures say, if you keep all these commandments, and yet you offend only at one point, you're guilty of all. You don't need to break all 10 commandments. You're hanging by a chain of 10 links. If you break one of the links, you will fall into eternal damnation in the hell forever. You see, when a law is written, a law always is written with a penalty clause. No law has any teeth if there's no penalty for breaking it. And God says, no thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator, no homosexual will enter the kingdom of God. And that covers all of us. Each one of us has broken God's law and deserved eternal damnation in hell, as God demands perfection for keeping his law. The next commandment, you shall not murder. Now I trust that most people here listening to my voice have not committed murder. But listen to the words of Jesus Christ, God himself. He said, you've heard it said of old, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you hate your brother or call him a fool or an idiot, you're guilty of murder in your heart. You see, it's the thoughts and the intents of your heart, not just the things that other people see you do, that you will be judged for. The scriptures say, every idle word you'll give answer for in the day of judgment. You shall not commit adultery. I'm surprised to find out that more than half of Americans admit to cheating on their spouse at least once in their life. But Jesus raised the bar when he said, you've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And if it's wrong for a man to look lustfully at a woman, it's also wrong for a woman to look at a man the same way. Who is innocent of breaking this commandment? Has never looked with lust in their entire life. You shall not steal. If you steal something one time, you're a thief. And all of us are guilty of breaking this commandment. You see, it doesn't need to be something expensive. I can open up your wallet. I can take out a penny or take out a $100 bill. That's just the denomination or the value. I would still be a thief. Have you stolen something one time in your life? Would God see you as a thief if you died today and were judged before him? You shall not bear false witness, or you shall not lie. Who here has never told a lie? If you were to tell me that right now, I would call you a liar. If you just told one more. It says, a lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Speaks out lies will not escape. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with sulfur. You see, God is just and holy and righteous, and he's demanding perfection. He created you and gave you life.
Thank you.
But have you kept the law that he's commanded of you? Or have you disrespected him and broken his law? You shall not covet is the 10th commandment, or jealously desire something that belongs to someone else. See, the Word of God tells us that if you've broken this law, the 10th commandment, it says no thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator, no homosexual will enter the kingdom of God. Anyone that sins is guilty before God. God says he will pour out his wrath on the children of men. He said in the fifth Psalm, God hates all those that commit iniquity. And that's breaking God's law. And that may rock your world, your understanding of God for some of you. Some of you may have never heard this, that God is just and holy and wrath-filled for those that break his law. Some of you may have heard that God will forgive everybody and that everybody's going to heaven, and it's a lie from the pits of hell. God is just and holy. And he will not hold him blameless. He said he will by no means clear the guilty. If you're guilty before God and you stand before him and simply ask for forgiveness, the Bible nowhere tells you that you will be forgiven. Not one place does it say if you simply ask for forgiveness for breaking God's law that you will be forgiven. It doesn't say that anywhere. But many people will stand on the pulpit of a church and lie to you and tell you that. Open up the Word of God and read it for yourself. It's offensive to us to realize that the Scriptures say that you are by nature children of wrath. And that is me as well. I don't come before you saying that I'm better than any of you, but I am better off than many of you, and I will explain to you. But God says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. If you are still in your sin, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, the Bible says. The trespasses against God. Awake from your sleep, and see there is hope in God your Creator. But if you still proclaim your innocence, there will be no hope for you on the day of judgment. It says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And what does that mean? Please understand, you and me are guilty before God. We have broken God's law, and we are deserving of damnation in hell for eternity. But an amazingly kind God did something incredible. He did something incredible for me.
I'm still preaching here,
so just come over. I'll come preach again a little later.
Come right up here. We want to hear you. Everybody want to hear you, man.
Okay.
All the people up here want to hear what you're saying. They want to hear what you're saying.
Okay.
That makes sense. So
yeah, I'm just going to finish preaching. I'm just preaching here for now, okay? So just give me a bit.
Take a walk on there.
The Word of God tells us that God sent his only Son, God himself in the flesh. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. God himself, born of the flesh, he grew up, spent 33 years on this earth. The perfect man, never broke any of God's laws. But God allowed him to be crucified. Men were evil in their nature, pound nails in his hands and his feet. And they hung him up and he bled his blood and he died. But God poured out the punishment of hell on him that you deserve, that I deserve for breaking God's law. And you know, we may mock the gospel. This is the power of God and the salvation. But if you mock it and laugh, you're still continuing down the road to damnation in hell. We cannot laugh at the blood of our Creator shed on our behalf and still be saved. God sent his Son to take your place. When he poured out the punishment of hell on Jesus Christ so that you could be saved, on your behalf, he poured out his blood on him. And then he raised him from the dead. He conquered death once and for all. And then God said something amazing. God says, these times of ignorance God has winked at. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. If you've broken God's law, you're guilty before God, and you deserve to go to hell, but he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bleed and die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You and I deserve the punishment of God, but God said, if you will repent, if you will turn from your sin, if you will trust in the Savior and the blood that he shed on your behalf, that he will forgive your sin, not because he can just let you go, but he will forgive your sin because his blood was shed in your place. Your fine is paid for you. Unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. You must humble yourself before God. And mankind, we are proud people. We do not want to humble ourselves before God. I tell you, he said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The word of God says, godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation. But the sorrow of the world works death. Godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. If you are simply sorry for sin because of the consequences it brings, that's not godly sorrow. But if you're sorrowful for your sin because you've offended God, your very Creator, that's godly sorrow, and it can bring you to a saving knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. The old now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Yesterday on this earth, there was 153,000 more people who could hear and accept this message, but they're dead now. Every single day, 153,000 people will die. And one day, a day of which you do not know, it's your day. And you will also die and stand before Him. Today, you are in the valley of decision. You're hearing the truth from the Word of God. Most of you will laugh and reject it, but will regret it on the day of judgment when you stand before God, damned eternally. And I don't want that for you. That's why I'm standing on a stool. And most people are laughing at me for standing here with the Bible. But I'm standing here because I want you to have the chance that I had to turn from my sin, to trust in the Savior Jesus Christ, and to be born again. There is no other name written among men whereby we must be saved. Not Muhammad, not Allah, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. There's no other name written among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For the scripture is telling you, the word of God screams to you. It says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Most of you right now are hardening your hearts. You're stealing yourself so you can go on living in your sin, rejecting God. Do not harden your hearts. Soften your heart before God. Ask God to show you your sin in truth. The Ten Commandments, the law of God, was given as a mirror so that you could see yourself in truth. When you get up in the morning, this very morning when you got up, you probably went into the bathroom and you looked in the mirror so you could see yourself in truth and make some repairs before anybody else saw you. The Ten Commandments is that. It's a mirror to show yourself in truth before God. Because the Word of God says that most men will not cease to declare their own goodness. Most of you, if asked, say, I'm a good person. Almost exclusively, men say, I've asked thousands of people. And men always say, oh yes, I consider myself a good person. But you're comparing yourself to others like me. You need to compare yourself to God's standard. Does God see you as a good person? It says God looked down on the children of men to see if there was any that doeth good. And there was none that doeth good. They're altogether gone out of the way, altogether become unprofitable. If you read further in the Word of God, they will be damned for eternity. So you need to humble yourself, repent, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you will reject this. You'll remain a rebel before God and be damned on the day of eternity, and I don't want that for you. So please consider what I'm saying. Are these the word of truth? God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. To be saved, you must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So important words, diligently seek Him. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Not just repeat words at the front of a church one day, but to diligently seek God your entire life. God rewards those, and those that stay with him, that follow him to the end, will be saved. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, God said through the prophet Jeremiah. Many of you have heard words from a pastor at a church that don't line up with what I'm telling you. Open your Bible and read it, because the Word of God says, let no man deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The Apostle Paul, after preaching the gospel for years, he wrote a letter to a church, and he said, I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of God and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed or damned. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. For I am now not seeking the approval of man, nor am I trying to please men. If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. What I'm telling you clearly is the Word of God says, if you're standing in church and you're hearing a different message than this, the Word of God says that that preacher will be damned on the day of judgment. So will you if you follow his message. We hear many today stand on the pulpit of a church and say, come to Jesus so you can be rich and you can have all your diseases cured. That is a heresy from hell. It's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus died on the cross for your sin, not to make you rich. So if that's what you're hearing in your church, open up your Bible, read it, and you can challenge your pastor about that. Word of God says that Christians will be hated of all men. We will be persecuted for his word. But he said, blessed is the man whose sins are blotted out, and whose iniquity will be forgotten before God. Jesus Christ died for sin. Sin, God describes sin in the Bible as breaking God's law. Open up Exodus chapter 20, read the Ten Commandments. If you've broken them, if you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've hated somebody, if you look with lust or not love God more than anything, you are in trouble before God on the day of judgment. When he says he will pour out his wrath on the children of men, he says you're storing up wrath unto the day of wrath. Repent. Turn from your sin and sorrow and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us in the book of Matthew, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in my name? Or in your name, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is describing Christian people that call themselves Christian church people. But if they're not following and living for him, then they're not Christians at all. If you call yourself a Christian, you're living like the devil. Open up your Bible to the book of 1 John tonight and read it. There's 10 tests in there to show what a real Christian is. Many, many years ago, back in 1837, a hymn was written. It says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking over life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not to then how much I owe. And this deed should echo in your heart if you say you've been born again a Christian. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start to shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not to then how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsitting heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders in the ear, loud as many waters noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not to then, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, waken from up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. My message to you today is to flee from the wrath to come. God will pour out his wrath on those that despise his name, those that break his law. But there is a refuge. Run to the refuge in the blood of Jesus Christ by repenting of sin and trusting in the Savior. And I appreciate you taking a moment to listen to me. If you've not been born again, or if you have questions about what I've been telling you, please humble yourself. I've got some pamphlets here. It says, are you good enough to go to heaven? I'll be here for a few minutes. So come talk to me and take one of these pamphlets and ask me any questions you may have. I really appreciate those that have taken time to listen to me. Thank you very much.